We've seen in the past, there's sometimes been a little bit of a challenge when players have to decide between playing for their country versus playing for a club when the club cricket is happening at the same time.
At the end of the day, national pride is important to a lot of people. It's not important to all.
You're not going to get all 11 players to come. But I'm saying even losing one player, like a Lasith Malinga, losing that player from Sri Lanka, using Kieran Pollard from West Indies is huge.
After a point, the IPL is nothing without the players. If you don't bring in the best talent, it's not going to be as big a success.
There's a bunch of confusion on how cricket is going to go. We don't have all the answers. I'm pretty sure ICC doesn't have all the answers. BCCI might have a lot of answers.
They're the ones raising the questions.
Hey everyone, welcome to All About Sports, the podcast, a podcast by the fans, for the fans. This week's episode is all about the future of cricket, but specifically focusing on the conflict that sometimes exists between international cricket versus club cricket, and if we see any changes that we might expect in the future in terms of how much club cricket versus international cricket is played. It's actually a continuation of our discussion last week that was about the different formats of cricket that currently exists and how we see the game sort of transitioning to becoming shorter and shorter and kind of trying to understand, you know, what the future is for ODI cricket, if it'll even exist or not. So if you do like this episode, you may want to check out last week's episode as well. But with that, let's get into this week's episode. Hope you enjoy. Maz, I want to pivot a little bit from this conversation on format to talk a little bit about the broader structure of how cricket is played. Cricket is one of the sports that, unlike I'd say a lot of sports, is centered around an international format, which I think is sometimes a bit challenging to your point of it is hard to always have relevant cricket being played. You know, when you have these big ICC tournaments like the World Cup, there is something at stake. There is just a format that gets you excited because you have knockouts and a final and a big trophy at the end. The rest of the time, there are a bunch of bilateral series, which sometimes you would argue are hard to get excited about. Your face exactly explains. I would say the two of us are pretty big cricket fans. I'll be honest, I don't know the last time I've sat and watched multiple games of a bilateral series, consistently sat in front of the TV and watched it. Maybe the Border Gavaskar Trophy is the only example of one that maybe I sit and watch a couple of the test matches, but that might be the only example.
Yeah, so, but Krishna, that's what I'm saying. Test match cricket. That is test match cricket.
Yeah,
it's not the limited overs that we tune into then. So it's like, it's one of those. What makes test cricket special is the lack of it.
Yep.
And what makes T20 special is the entertainment factor. And that's where 50 over cricket is now caught in limbo.
I was going to say, and it's one of those tough things where it seems really hard to get excited for some of these random series that exist, right? We saw even leading up to this World Cup, India, South Africa. It's irrelevant only because they're basically practicing for the ODI World Cup. When you look at the flip side of it and you see the crowds turning out to say an IPL, you see the crowds turning up to say even the Big Bash tournament, every single year, the KFC Big Bash, both the men's and the women's league have a phenomenal turnout in terms of viewership. Do you see international cricket continuing in the way that it has historically, or is there an opportunity to kind of switch cricket to be similar to, you know, football, similar to basketball? Similar to basketball is a bad comparison because there's basically no international, relevant international basketball.
Champions of the world?
I have to watch the NBA finals and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong. I love the U.S. at times, but that ain't the world.
It's also hilarious because he immediately got jumped out by like everyone in the NBA.
And what's even funnier was that then they went on to lose the World Cup.
World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong. I love the U.S. at times. But that ain't the world.
Yeah. Oh boy. It's been a rough couple of months for USA basketball. But coming back to cricket, let's compare it to, say, football, right? Football is primarily a sport organized at the club level. And then ever so often, you have a World Cup, you have the Euros, you have CONCACAF tournaments, You have, you know, Copa America, but that is kind of interspersed within club football. Is there an opportunity, given the demand we've seen for these club tournaments, to switch more than that, more to that format, remove a lot of these bilateral and trilateral series, maybe keep a few essential ones? You said like Test cricket, you have the structure of the World Test Championship that maybe maintains entertainment, but can we remove 50 to 60% of these series and sub it out with more club cricket? Or do you frankly think there isn't as high an appetite? Maybe the appetite is high because there's not that much of it at the moment.
It's a tricky one. I don't think the pool of cricketers is big enough to explore this option. The simple reason I say that is look at the number of footballers that come up. The problem is the cricketers are still limited in terms of identifying who are really up to that level, right? You only have, I mean, what, FIFA has 200 member nations. At the end of the day. So it's very different and it's difficult for cricket to follow that approach. I also don't think it's possible because, like I said, like what happens is the skill levels get skewed massively. It'll become like this, right? Like the IPL becomes the Premier League. Then what happens to the other ones? They tried it, right, with the Champions League. The Champions Leagues that they created with all the T20 winners from all the countries. There was only one
So the
case.
three different Knight Riders that came together to play against each other.
No, but what's funny was in that also, like it was fun, but at the same time, the IPL, there was so much of a conflict for the players. It became really tricky for a lot of them where they were like, okay, I'll play for CSK because I'm getting paid more. But I'm also the captain of the damn South African T20 champions. Now what do I do, you know? What I'm trying to say is it's really difficult to set it up like that. You can't go the down that path simply because, like I said, it's a numbers game. I don't think there's enough of good enough talent to make it a competitive all-around system where everyone can then go play their respective league competitions. Literally, you're going to get all the viewership only in one pocket in India at this point, or maybe max to max the Big Bash.
I did have a question
And
though. As can I counter that with one question though, Maz? And
yeah.
I'll admit I didn't come up with this. A friend of mine
Right.
actually mentioned this. What if you have, unlike I realize I gave cricket as football as the example where you have basically multiple leagues going on simultaneously. What if you basically had IPL, but only at the same time only IPL is being played. So Feb to March is only IPL. Then April to June is the KFC season, the Big Bash season. You know, end of the year is the Caribbean League season. So there isn't, I agree, there's not enough players to maybe have these things simultaneously going on. But if you kind of layered it separately into different parts of the year and they all kind of moved across to play within each region, do you see that as more of a feasible system? Because I agree, the multi-leagues at the same time, I don't know if it's possible, but at
But
different
Krishnan,
times.
why would anyone do that? And how does it benefit anyone? It becomes like it loses its specialty then, right? Like if they play the IPL and the same players are going and playing in their same teams, respective teams in the other leagues, what do you think is not working about? What made the Major League Cricket tournament not work? The fact that they had a team called MI, My New York. At the end of the day, right? MI Cape Town, My Cape Town, then Trinbago Knight Riders. It's essentially the same ownership. It's the same players. It's really pointless. And most cricket is not consumed in the stadium, right? Most cricket is consumed through broadcast itself. So it doesn't matter whether you're playing in the West Indies, whether you're playing in India. If the best are playing, you'll watch it. So I just think it's a redundant system more than anything. It's something interesting, but there needs to be a structure to it and something that makes sense to it. And I don't see anything that fits in right now, at least from a structure standpoint.
That's a good, that is a good point, because I guess to some extent it's just different permutations and combinations of the same players. And it's almost like if you could create different fantasy lineups, just being set up in different countries is what will basically happen, which really makes a good point, because one of the beautiful things about the football system is in different leagues, you're seeing different players playing. You're getting to see, like, it's exciting when a player moves across league, whereas here it'll be the same pocket of players just shifting across leagues. Admittedly, they'll be playing with different players, but it doesn't have the same charm of maybe the cross-league format that exists in football.
I want to add one more thing, Krishnan, this is a question to you. Do you genuinely think the way cricket is run with the ICC stranglehold picked by the BCCI, followed by the Australian Cricket Board and the ECB? How, like, I don't realistically see that being possible because they want to keep that money, right? They want to maintain that stranglehold. So why would the BCCI be open to having a similar league in the Caribbean with all their players going and doing something? Because that money is not coming into the country or coming to BCCI. Do you genuinely think from a financial standpoint it can even happen?
That's a good point. I would hope, I guess I'm optimistic that I would still think viewership, even in that structure, viewership would be much higher for, say, the IPL, then followed Big Bash, then be followed by Big Bash, then be followed by English cricket. But you're right, it will make the Caribbean Premier League stronger, because if it's not being played at the same time as other tournaments, more players can go to those tournaments. Theoretically, Indian players can play in those other tournaments as well, is my idea of how it would work. Of course, from a political standpoint, which is, I know, a whole other episode we could have. Yes, there is a very low probability that BCCI, the Australian Cricket Board, or the ECB is willing to maybe loosen the stranglehold that they currently have on international cricket. It's more of a hopeful plea. I guess I'm a believer that there is potential for it to be better for cricket viewership. I'm less optimistic, like you said, that from a political and a financial perspective, they care about their own money and not so much like how much the West Indian Cricket Board is making, for example. ICC, I will admit, maybe is slightly invested in that, but I don't think BCCI is, which is definitely going to be a challenge. I think the other challenge, which I think you kind of alluded to as well in your point, is it might mean the death of a lot of cricketers, right? You look at, for example, a team like Afghanistan playing in this tournament. There are 11 cricketers that come to play this tournament. You change that up with a, you know, with a Big Bash or an IPL, there's going to be maybe three or four players that get picked up in these leagues, right? Maybe Mohammad Nami, of course, Rashid Khan, maybe a couple of bowlers, but
Mujib, that's it.
Mujib, but a
Yeah, I
majority
think
of
that's
them
it.
would not get picked up. Same thing with Bangladesh, same thing with Netherlands. A majority of these players would not really get an opportunity to play, and as a result, probably not get an opportunity to really earn income anyway, right? Because there's no, like, why would the Afghanistan board even keep a cricket board, like paying them on an annual basis if all they have to keep them for is a tournament that's once every 2 years or once every 4 years? So I think that is one challenge that we might see. On the flip side, I did want to call out one interesting thing in terms of the income distribution that I think will anyway cause this issue. We've seen in the past, there's sometimes been a little bit of a challenge when players have to decide between playing for their country versus playing for a club when the club cricket is happening at the same time. We saw Lasith Malinga for a small portion of time deciding to play for Mumbai Indians instead of Sri Lankan cricket. Same thing with a couple of West Indian cricketers. One of the interesting things that I found is there was a analysis that was done that looked at the average salaries paid to, you know, paid by country. And the highest was Australia, that on average, with all their match fees as well as salaries, Australian cricket players from their board were getting paid between $362,000 to $1.75 million. And that's the highest level. At the lowest level were three countries, which is Ireland, Zimbabwe, and Afghanistan. Afghanistan, which is the lowest of them, is paid $20,000 to $40,000 per year. Bangladesh is slightly above those three tiers, and a Bangladesh cricketer is paid between 55,000 and 212,000 per year. Now, you compare that to, say, the, you know, the Big Bash League or the IPL, in the Big Bash League, the base salary that a player can earn is $42,000. So, and this is Australian dollars, so you corrected a bit, let's say, for US dollars. So the minimum that you can make in Australian cricket is about the maximum that you can make playing for your Afghanistani national side. So as an Afghanistan cricketer, I can imagine saying, if I have a tournament playing for Afghanistan cricket, even if it puts me in jeopardy of losing my spot in this national team for the entire year, as long as I get picked up by the Big Bash League, the least I can make is probably higher from that one tournament than what I would make from playing for Afghanistan that entire year. So I think that is one piece that we might see as a bit of a challenge to continue, especially with IPL. IPL players make even more on average, right? We've seen the highest pay that was received in terms of IPL earnings in the last tournament was Sam Curran, getting about 2.26 million in salary, which is higher than the highest paid Australian cricketer from the ACB. I think that is one aspect that might put a little bit more pressure on this international and club relationship over the years. When there is a conflict, will players choose to stick with their country, or will they choose to risk even losing a relationship with the ECB, knowing, hey, I can consistently get a, I believe in myself enough to consistently get a contract in a club level.
But I feel like, Krishnan, in that sense, it just gives other opportunities to other players at the international level. I don't think that will change, because at the end of the day, national pride is important to a lot of people. It's not important to all. It's a bit tricky with the West Indies because there is no nation, right? It's the Caribbean islands coming together, being represented by a board. So they don't have that patriotism aspect so much. So there's a reason why Roelof van der Merwe and the likes chose to play for the Netherlands instead of South Africa, because they didn't have to go down the COPAC route and sign those contracts, and that gave them an opportunity to play the franchise cricket as well, and then represent the slightly smaller associate nations. So there is that workaround, and people are doing it, and I think it's giving impetus to growth of the sport in general. The fact that van der Merwe represented South Africa, was a match winner for them on multiple occasions, comes and then beats South Africa, it just makes it so much more amazing. So I wouldn't want that to change. And I think, and I also feel that sometimes money goes out of the window, because whatever you said is not less money, especially in a country like Bangladesh. If you're making that money, you live a king's life. At the end of the day, Krishnan, it's about being rational, because sport is not rational, right? Like, we've grown up dreaming to represent our nation, especially in cricket. It's like, my dream is to play for my country. It's just how it's embedded into us. It's a thing. So I can't give it a rational explanation, but it happens. So like I said, all the players we see who have picked franchise cricket over their nation is due to certain reasons like this. Malinga doing it was because even he didn't trust the system, the Sri Lankan cricket board at all, because of its corruption. Sangakkara spoke about it as well. If there is conflict like this, there will be obviously rebels as well. So that's my take on what you had to say. I'm not saying your point is not valid. It's a great point, and it's something that is highly contentious and something worth exploring to see how it can potentially work out. But I just think that some things are just, now it's trying to leave out all the facts and all everything and just being a bit more realistic about the way things play out.
No, and I think the pride that players have in their country will maintain the fact that international cricket will still be strong. The question I think comes up is when BCCI or any club starts wanting to apply pressure. Because right now, the IPL is generally not when other big tournaments are. They're pretty cautious about not putting it at the same time as, let's say, the Ashes. But the moment the IPL or any board wants to start applying that pressure and go, oh no, where is she going to schedule our tournament the same time as a big tournament of yours? A big tournament like the Big Bash, a big tournament like England traveling to Australia for the Ashes after 4 years. I think that's when I'd be curious to see how those...
But Krishnan, everyone has... But everyone stands to lose in that, right? Again, it comes back to the patriotism part. After a point, a lot of the Aussies will be like, hey, listen, go to hell. We're going to play at home. After a point, they'll be like, we're earning enough to want our league to succeed. We're not going to come. Because even at the end of the day, the players also have the demand, right? After a point, the IPL is nothing without the players. If you don't bring in the best talent, it's not going to be as big a success. So I think that's something that you aren't taking into consideration, right?
Oh no, I don't think it'll be everyone. My thing is, I just think it takes one or two big pins to fall. Like I can imagine a Kevin Peterson being someone convinced to do something like this. Like anyone, even a Ben Stokes.
But Krishna, you're using the worst example again. The guy literally leaked texts about
I
the South
know, but I'm
Africans.
saying you'll have one or two players like that in every team. I'm saying you just need to get, I'm not saying you'll get everyone. You won't get everyone, but I think every team has one or two people who aren't as
Problem.
nationally proud. So I'm
Yeah.
saying you can have one or two people like, you know, someone like Ben. I'm not saying Ben Stokes is not loyal to the English cricket team. He's very loyal to the English cricket team. But, you know, he has different identities, different prides. There are certain players in every team I think you can kind of notch off and pick up. You're not going to get all 11 players to come. But I'm
Fair
saying
enough.
even losing one player, like a Lasith Malinga, losing that player from Sri Lanka is huge. Using Kyron Pollard from West Indies is huge. So,
And we've
yeah.
seen it. That's brought the death or to West Indian cricket. We've clearly seen that. Sri Lanka's on the verge because of the same reason as well. Interesting. This links to our previous episode, bad ownership in a way, badly run organizations. So that's cool. But no, I agree, Krishna, and I get your point. I don't know. Let's see. It's interesting. Let's see how it plays out.
I think that's the perfect ending to our episode, which is let's see. I think it's cricket is probably in like for some years been in a weird spot where we don't entirely know where it's going. I know that like potentially think you're bringing back the Champions Trophy. There's a bunch of confusion on how cricket is going to go. We don't have all the answers. I'm pretty sure ICC doesn't have all the answers. BCCI might have a lot of answers that we don't know about just yet. We'll find out through some surprise press
They're the
release
ones
every couple of
raising the
years.
questions. They're the
That's a
ones
good.
raising the questions.
They're the ones who define the questions, raise the questions, cause questions. But with that, let's wrap up this episode. It's been really good talking to you, Maz. For those of you listening, do leave in the comments or share with us in any other way you feel where you think cricket is going, where you'd like cricket to go. But with that, signing off from this week's episode. If you did like this episode, do like and share it. With that, have a great rest of your week. Take care.
If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes, as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.